I'm looking forward to the day he calls me home. Amen. I guess the toddlers got way out of hand over the next building because they came and got more help. So all those with toddlers in our children's church, I guess they had to call in recruits. I feel for them, ladies. Miss Holder and Miss Edie teach our toddler church during this worship service, and they have a crew. I mean, they have as many as 15 or 20 of those toddlers in there. And I personally don't want to be in there. I mean, I'd much rather be doing this than in there with 20 toddlers that are 3 years old. Praise the Lord. We'll pray for them. So I guess they just recruited Miss Kirby, so you may have to let her rest this afternoon, Brother Kirby. Let her rest. Amen. If you want your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 12. And it's amazing, let you in on a little bit, just as I study for messages. I study for various messages the Lord lays upon my heart. And at any given time, I may have two or three going at the same time and just really seeking direction as to God, what God would want me to do on Sunday mornings. I know a lot of preachers put their sermons up on the screen and all the outlines. That would not fit me very well, especially Sunday morning. Sunday night, Wednesday night, we could do that, and we should be doing that. That's my fault. But Sunday morning, it can be. You know, 90% of the time, whatever God lays upon my heart on Monday is what I preach on Sunday morning. But sometimes it's not the case. And I really believe, and I just thank the Lord that He does continue to lead me all the way up until the time it's time to preach. And at times, we might get off the outline just a little bit. I try not to chase too many rabbits. When I was a kid, I had a pastor who literally, when he got to preach, did not have a subject. He just got up and just, like a shotgun, just shot it everywhere, you know, just whatever came out of his mouth is what he preached. He might preach on 10 different subjects in one sermon. It was amazing. My wife would verify that. He was the king of rabbit chasing. If you don't know what that means, it basically means just finding every trail that comes into your mind. If something comes to your mind, you just follow that trail until you find another trail. And sometimes it becomes endless. You just keep following trails. So in my introduction, I've just chased a rabbit. But John chapter 12 and verse 46. Be a familiar passage to most of you. Jesus here, let's look at verse 44. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me." Verse 45. If you don't have verse 45 underlined in your Bible as a text scripture or a support scripture for Jesus Christ being God, that he was the God-man, you ought to have it underlined. Verse 45, "And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me." Jesus says, if you see me, you see God. Amen. Jesus claimed to be God. Amen. He was the God-man. He was just as much man as though he'd never been God, and just as much God as though he'd never been man. He was the God-man, God in flesh, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Verse 46, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for your love and grace that you've so richly extended to us. We thank you for this truth that's found in your word as far as containing that you are the light of the world. I pray this morning that we would see this truth and that we would continue to strive and to walk in the light. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him," heard of Christ, "and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all." That God is light. That God reveals Himself as light. God has manifested Himself as light over the period of creation from the very start. If you go back and you look at creation, the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the first thing He created was light. Let there be light. If you look in a few verses over, you'll find that on day 4, He created the sun, the moon. I love that verse where it says, "And He created the sun, the moon, and the stars also." Like He just kind of, "and the stars also." Yeah, no big deal. Pretty cool. You got to go read it. But He created the sun, moon, and stars on the fourth day. So the first day, when He said, "Let there be light." God has to have a deep voice. That's the way it is. He said, "Let there be light." That light was not the sun or the moon or the stars. That light, I believe, was Jesus Christ. That it was God manifest Himself as light as He is revealed throughout the Scriptures. We see this throughout the Scriptures, that God has revealed Himself by way of light. And if you continue to go over and you look, and there's many places, but you'll find where Moses turned aside to see a bush that was on fire but was not consumed. And there he talked with God. In fact, as he approached the bush, the Bible says that God said to him, "Hey, take your shoes off because the place you're standing on is holy ground." And he took his shoes off and there he communed with God. He went back down from the mountain and he began to teach and so forth to the children of Israel. He went back up the mountain and there he stayed for 40 days. 40 days he communed with God. And the Bible says that when he came down and approached the children of Israel, by the way, he found that his face was glowed. His face shone. The second time he went up, he came back down, his face shone. It was glowing. In fact, the Bible says they had to put a veil over his face because it scared everybody. They were scared to look on Moses because his face shone. When Moses received the pattern for the tabernacle, he spent another 40 days up there on the mountain, came down and they built the tabernacle, got it all built. And the Bible says that God came down. And again, He led the children of Israel by fire by night, a cloud by day. I don't want to get too much into this. But that cloud came down upon that tabernacle. It was just a big tent. And the tabernacle came down upon it and dwelt in the Holy of Holies. This little 15 by 15 by 15 space where the Ark of the Covenant sat. And on top of the Ark of the Covenant sat the mercy seat. And on the mercy seat were two cherubs with their wings facing each other. And the Bible says that God dwelt between the cherubs as a light. It's called the Shekinah glory. God created the heavens and the earth. He said, "Let there be light." That light was not the sun, moon, or stars. That light was Jesus. As you go throughout, you find it other places, but then you find where Moses encountered this light. This light was God manifest. In other words, the light revealed God to mankind. The Shekinah glory. In fact, Moses went on to say, "Lord, show me your glory." There in Exodus 33, "Show me thy glory." "God, show me your glory. Show me, reveal to me who you are." And God said, "I can't. If I was to reveal to you my glory, you would die. No man could look upon God and see God anytime unless he die." You said you would die. He said, "I'll tell you what I'll do." He said, You go over here and you get in this cleft of the rock. You get in this crack in the rock. And I'm just going to come by you. Cover your face. And when I come by, I'll let you see my hinder parts." He just came by. God came by. And Moses saw just his hinder parts. Just his backside. God's glory. God's glory. Revealed by way of the light. Skip through a few 100 years, and David the king sought to build God a house. God told David, "You're not going to be allowed to build me a house because your hands are bloody. You've been a man of war from your youth." He said, "But I'm going to allow your son Solomon to build me a house." And so David prepared and gathered all the materials together. He got all the cedar out of Lebanon, and he gathered all the gold and the silver and began to make the instruments, and he just got everything together for his son Solomon. And when Solomon came to the throne, after David reigned 40 years, and when Solomon came to the throne, he began building the temple. Not the tabernacle anymore. The tabernacle was the tent that God abode in. Now he built a temple. A temple for God to dwell in. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, that when the temple was dedicated, when the temple was finished, and they began to dedicate the temple, the Bible says, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying at this opening, grand opening ceremony, the fire came down from heaven." That would be pretty awesome, wouldn't it? "And consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house." They couldn't enter in because the glory had filled the house. This temple of God. 1 Samuel 4:4, 2 Samuel 6:2, 2 Kings 19:15. There are many verses you could turn to that tells us that God dwelt between the cherubs, that God dwelt there on top of that mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. So think about it for a moment. As the children of Israel worshiped God, they would worship God at the temple. They would come to the temple doors. You'd walk through the temple doors. In front of there would be the brazen altar. In the temple, it was huge. Huge brazen altar. You walk past the brazen altar, you would come to the laver. And the laver in the temple was different than the tabernacle. The laver in the temple was built out of brass. It was a huge sea bowl, a bowl almost like a sea. And the Bible says it was set upon 10 ox, bullocks. And it was, anyway, there's a lot to it. And you would walk past that and you would come to the temple door. You'd enter the temple door and you'd come into the holy place. On your right would be the showbread. On the left would be the candlestick. And right in front of you would be the altar of incense. And the altar of incense was continually bringing up sweet aroma to God. And if you went past the altar of incense, if you went past it, you would have to move the curtain. You'd have to move this thick curtain to the side. And you would walk in, and on your right or in front of you would be the Ark of the Covenant. The mercy seat on top of it. It was the lid for the Ark of the Covenant. And there would be a light there. You say, was the light always there? Yes. When that temple was dedicated and God consumed that offering with fire and the glory of the Lord filled the temple, that Shekinah glory dwelt in the midst of that ark, on top of that ark, as long as it was in the Holy of Holies. Everyone with me? There was a day when it left. Prophet was shown as the Shekinah glory left the temple and went to the gate of the city and then went to the wilderness and then was gone. That God's presence with Israel left. It was gone. Why? Because of their sin. Because of the rebellion against God. The Shekinah glory left. God's presence, that light left. But one day it returned. The shepherds announced it. The wise men followed it. They followed that star. Amen. That Shekinah glory. That point of light, God revealing Himself. They followed that star. They followed that, God revealing Himself. For there are many other things we could think about. Jesus Christ there on the Mount of Transfiguration, we preached on a few weeks ago, where three of the apostles got to see somewhat Jesus Christ in His glory and how He shone. Saul at that time on the road to Damascus saw the Lord, the Bible says, as bright as the noonday sun, brighter than the noonday sun. And a voice came out of that light, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" The light revealed Himself. God revealed Himself by way of light. Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible says that John saw Him as He was there on the Isle of Patmos. And it says, "And His countenance was as the sun shineth in His strength." The light revealed Himself to John the Apostle. And then the one we all love to talk about is Revelation chapter 21, verse 23. The Bible says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." You see, when we get to heaven, there will be no need for the sun, the moon, and the stars. Jesus Christ will be the light thereof. Brighter than the noonday sun, God revealed Himself, revealing Himself by way of the light, or a light. As we think about this term again, as we have preached it many times, but about the glory of God, the term the glory of God is found, or the word glory is found over 500 times in the Bible. And the glory of God simply means this, that phrase, glory of God, means who and what God is. So every time you come across that phrase, just be reminded that that means who and what God is. Who and what God is? What is God? Well, He's all of His attributes, absolutely. But physically, He has manifested Himself as a light. Why would He do that? Because light is pure. It's bright. It's clear. And God is all these things. And Jesus Christ says here in John chapter 12, He says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. He was the light come into the world. God in the flesh has come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. John chapter 8, verse 12 says, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Shall have the light of life. Jesus Christ is life. And those who come to Him, those who see the light and come to Him and believe on Him, the Bible says they shall have the light of life. They'll have eternal life. That light. What kind of light is Jesus Christ? Well, we know there's lots of kinds of light. There are many kinds of light. There's, 25 watt, 50 watt, fluorescent lights, spotlights. You're not supposed to use those at night on particular animals. Lights. I grew up in the country. I never shot an animal with a light. I can promise you that. But we did spotlight other stuff. No, hang on. I never shot a deer with a light. But we shot other stuff. Possums. I know raccoons are cute, but they eat lots of feed, so they were open game on the farm if you found one. There's lots of kind of light. Lots of light. Various kinds of light. As you think about the greatest light, of course, is the sun. S-U-N, the sun, sunlight. We find many times in the Old Testament where Jesus Christ is prophesied concerning light. And many times the word S-U-N is found, but it's referring to Jesus Christ. We find in Malachi and also in the Psalms where it's prophesied that He should arise as a sun, S-U-N. Talking about He, the Messiah, should come as light. Everybody understand that now? Kind of looking at the crowd, that the Bible prophesied in Malachi, Isaiah, the Psalms, that the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah, would come as a light into the world. Luke chapter 1, verse 78 describes that light, that it has come. As a day spring, it says, as a day spring from on high hath visited us. The day spring from on high hath visited us. The light from on high hath visited us. Luke 1, 78. That light was Jesus Christ. I am the light of the world. I am the light. I am come a light into the world. There's so many places we could refer to. Speaks of the light in John chapter 1. That was the true light. He was not the light, talking about John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Capital L-I-G-H-T. That was the true light. Who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the light. He's a glorious light. Again, the eye cannot behold it. We think about the sun. If you go out in the sun without some kind of protection on your eyes, you can't look up at the sun very long without blinking or doing something. And then after that, when you close your eyes, it's like a little figure of the sun in your eyeballs, right? It's not good to look at it without protection. As I said, Moses requested to see the glory of God, and God said, hey, you can't see me or else you'll die. But Moses had an opportunity to see just a glimpse of the glory of God. And by the way, when he experienced just a glimpse of the glory of God, it changed. It revolutionized his life. From then forward, his face looked different. His countenance was different. I mean, his face glowed. That's a little strange, isn't it? By the way, every time you come into God's presence, how do you do that? When you come in to read your Bible, when you come into prayer time with the Lord, every time you come into His presence and you commune with God and you have a relationship with the Lord, it changes your countenance. There's no way about it. People will say there's something different about that person. There's something different about that lady. There's something different about that teenager. He's different than the others. She's different than the others. That's because they've been with Jesus. They said so about His apostles and many others. They were different because they had been with Jesus. When the sun is shining, all other lights disappear. And what truth there is in that, that Jesus Christ far outpasses, far surpasses any other. Not only is He a glorious light, but He's a general light in that the sun serves all the world. The S-U-N serves all the world. There is but one Christ, but He is the universal Savior to all the world. All that are saved by Him alone. Jesus Christ is the general light. We've read this verse before, but still just a great verse. In Psalm 19 speaks of that light again. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Glory of God, what does that mean? The heavens declare who and what God is. This is David speaking now. "And the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun," S-U-N, "which is the bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His goings forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." And what the Bible, what King David is saying here in this psalm, as it was being sung, was that God has revealed Himself by way of His creation. And the sun is the central focus. It's been set there as a circuit-riding preacher to show us that there is a God. To reveal to us that there is a God. The sun is a preacher. That's what it's saying. A circuit-riding preacher to remind us, to reveal to us that there is a God. And that God created all things. Again, we see that the light is revealed to us and shows us again about who and what God is. The sun, a circuit-riding preacher, a general light to shine over the entire world. There's only one sun, by the way. And there's only one Savior. Jesus Christ said Himself in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." He made it very clear that He was the only way. We live in a pluralistic society today that says all roads lead there. We live in a society today where the name of Jesus is being absolutely marginalized and put down and just demeaned. You can say God all you want to. Excuse me. You can pray to God all you want to. I'm not endorsing everything that happens on this show. Believe me. Many of you watch Duck Dynasty. Again, the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. That's my biggest problem with them. But I was reading about them a couple of weeks ago, and it says that when they do the ending prayer at the end of that show, when they do that ending prayer, that they always pray, the dad always prays, "In Jesus' name, amen." Hollywood, every episode they cut it out. You can't tell it, but the guys were telling, you know, were in an interview, were saying they cut it out on purpose because they didn't want to offend anybody. Again, it's okay to talk about God because, see, we live in a pluralistic society that says, well, you know, this is our God, you know, the one found in here, and that is your God found in that religion, and that is their God found in that religion. They're all the same God. All of them lead the same way. The Bible does not say that. In fact, further than that, Jesus Christ doesn't say that. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way." He did not say He was the part of the way or that He was even the best way. But He said emphatically, "I am the way." He is saying, "I am the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Salvation is found in the Son, S-O-N, and only in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, He came into this world as a light to dispel darkness. The world is full of darkness. America is full of darkness. Figuratively speaking, everybody with me? Full of darkness. I enjoy fishing from time to time. And from time to time we try to fish at night. And it's amazing on a very, it could be as black, pitch black, dark as anything. And if you just got a small little flashlight, you could take that boat anywhere. You could find your way around. It's amazing what one little light will do, especially if it's a spotlight, which I usually keep in my boat. It's amazing. The light dispels darkness. You ever gone out, if you can get out of the city a little ways and on a very, very dark night, but the moon is out, especially if the moon is full, if you let your eyes adjust for a little bit, you can see everything. Light dispels darkness. Jesus says, I came into this world to dispel darkness. I came as a light into this world to dispel, to show forth the light. Boy, does He. He's a general light. By the way, just as the sun is free to all, the S-U-N, you don't have to go outside and pay for the sunlight. So is Jesus Christ, the S-O-N, free to all. Free to all. The Bible says, for all sin have come short of the glory of God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works lest any man should boast. You see, you don't earn your salvation. You don't earn eternal life. You don't earn your way to heaven. You don't earn your way into favor with God. You don't earn your way. You don't simply join the church and that gets you to heaven, or get baptized in the waters of the church and that gets you to heaven. Being a member of this Baptist church will not get you any closer to heaven than joining the Lutheran church down the road, or the Catholic church, or whatever other denomination you want to name. It's absolutely through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's it. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We are saved by grace through faith. That grace merely means that God gives us what we do not deserve. That He freely gives us salvation. The light is free. Then the light is necessary. If there was no light, there would be no life. Well, I could live in the... you still got to have some light down there to grow something. You're going to have something to eat. Hopefully it's a chicken fried steak and mashed potatoes with some okra and macaroni. You got to have some kind of light to grow something. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ is that light. Why do we need to be saved? Because we are sinners. The Bible says the wages of the penalty of sin is death. Revelation tells us that death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. We are under the penalty of death. But who gives us salvation is Jesus Christ. I just quoted it a while ago, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's simply by putting your faith and trust in Him. Christians, Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and you know I can't walk away from this message without emphasizing to you that we are lights as well. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus said Himself, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. Christians, we ought to be a light in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, is what the Bible says. That we ought to be lights in this world. That when others see us, they should see Jesus in us. When others see us, they should see the light of life. They should see the Lord Jesus Christ lived in our lives. They should see that. Now, Jesus Christ is the Son. He's the S-U-N. And I would consider us, as we look throughout the Scriptures, as being the moon, that we are lesser lights, that we just simply are reflectors of the greater light. The moon just simply reflects the light. I'm just to be a reflector of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am to reflect Him. I'm the lower lights. Those around the lighthouse. He's the lighthouse. I'm the lower lights. Remember, we preached on that during our candlelight service. My wife went to Dollar General here recently or somewhere, and these little lights, these little bitty ones that have the anyway, the thing on top so they can shine at night. I don't know why it's not coming to my mind, but, huh? Solar lights. Thank you very much. See, we get the crowd involved around here. And so these little lights, and she found it for like 25 cents a piece. I don't know, like next to nothing. So we had these lights everywhere, down every sidewalk at our house. Right? How long did they last? Like 25 minutes. First time the kids come out to play football and basketball and whatever else. I think there's like three of them left. But they simply guide you, you know, on the sidewalk to do what? To get into the bigger light, which is in the house. I'm telling you, we are to be that kind of light. We're just guiding those to the light, the S-U-N, the sunlight, the Jesus Christ our Lord. We're just merely reflections of that light. Let us reflect the light. Reflection of the sun. Verse 14 there in Matthew says that we're not to hide our light under a bushel. Does no good. Right? We're to put it on a candlestick and let everybody see it. Jesus said, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father. We ought not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ought to stand as lights in this world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, as others see Christ in me, as others see selfless life in me, see Christ's life lived through me, then I'm merely reflecting the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will glorify God. They will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, our testimonies are vitally important. Because those who are seeking, and all are seeking rest, or all are seeking peace, they're going to find somebody who does have peace. They're going to find somebody who does have rest. And they're going to say to you, why do you not go crazy when this happens? You know, why do you have peace when you're going through all these trials and all these problems? How can you have, and they begin to ask you questions, and guess what? You get to share the glorious gospel, the light of the glorious gospel with them. Be a reflector of Jesus Christ. Let others see Jesus in you. The little old children's song we learned, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? Hide it under a bushel, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. They say it louder than that. Hide it under a bushel. No! Right? I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. You going to let it shine? You need to let it shine. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8 says, for ye were sometimes darkness. Listen to this very closely and we're almost there. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Ye were sometimes darkness. Jesus said what? I came a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And then Paul says in Ephesians 5, he says, ye that were sometimes in darkness, walk as children of the light. Those who have accepted Christ as Savior, those who have come to the light, those whose light now, the Bible speaks about the light being shed abroad in our hearts. When we get saved, the light is shed abroad in our heart. And as that light is shed abroad in our heart, it dispels the darkness. I'm no longer a child of darkness. I'm a child of the light. I want to read that verse one more time in Ephesians. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. We represent Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors, the Bible says. Ambassadors of what? Now, ambassadors of who is a good question. Ambassador of Jesus Christ. How do we reflect His light? By living a selfless life. The selfless life. By living a life that is selfless. By treating others as we would want to be treated. Let us be reminded this morning that living a Christ-like life is living a selfless life. Not looking out for number one, but looking out for those around me. This works in marriage as well, guys. If you want to help your marriage, the greatest thing you can do is treat your spouse as you would want to be treated. That'll solve a lot of problems. In fact, it'll solve all the problems in your marriage. Christ, Christianity, is not a religion, it's a relationship. It's having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then as we get to know Him, the more we get to know Him, the Bible speaks of that light that we receive, that it grows. The Bible speaks of that day star arising in our hearts. As we fellowship with Jesus Christ on a daily basis, as we go to church and hear the preaching of the Word of God, and as we attend the young adult class or the victory class or the faith class, as we go to these classes, the singles class, wherever you are, and you're attending these classes, you come on Wednesday night and you come to prayer meeting and you hear the Word of God taught again, and on and on and on, and daily prayer time, in your own personal prayer time, in your own daily Bible reading. As a Christian, the light that was given to you, the Bible says, will grow. The day star will arise in your heart. I've asked this question before. Where are you at on the clock? Are you an 8 o'clock Christian? 8 a.m. Christian? Are you a 10 a.m. Christian? Are you a 12 o'clock noon Christian? Where are you at? Amen? How many of y'all got the illustration? I hope you did. Where are you at? How bright is the light in your life? Is it 10 o'clock bright? Or is it 12 o'clock bright? Or is it 2 o'clock bright? How bright is the light that was given to you? Or is it still just a dim light that you were given, that light you were given at the first? Listen, it ought to get brighter and brighter. Just as we, in our personal relationships, just as when I asked my wife to marry me 20 years ago. 20 years ago I asked her to marry me. 20 years ago, we dated off and on before that for, I don't know, a long time. You know, and at age 18, we got married. That's kind of young. I don't recommend that for everybody. But we got married 20 years ago, a little over 20 years ago. And listen, the relationship has gotten stronger since then. We've grown to know each other more. I know her so much more today than I knew her 20 years ago. I love her more today than I loved her 20 years ago. The relationship has grown stronger. We've grown together. That's the way it works with Jesus as well. As a Christian, you read your Bible, you pray every day, and you what? Grow, grow, grow. Another children's song. You grow, and the light gets stronger in your life. The light gets stronger. You become, instead of a 25-watt bulb, you become a 50-watt bulb, or a 75-watt bulb, or a 100-watt bulb. There is possibly, and we can't be dogmatic about it, but in the book of Daniel, it does speak about those in heaven. Yes, Jesus Christ will be the sun in heaven, but it does talk about lesser lights there. It does possibly allude to Christians in heaven shining. I personally believe that is the case. That in heaven, we will shine as well. How bright will your light be? How bright will your light be? Are you here this morning and you've never experienced the light? You've never experienced the light of life? Well, that light is the only light. That light is the light that lighteth every man, all mankind. I hope there's been a time in your life when you've accepted Christ as your Savior. If not, we're going to sing a verse of invitation in just a second, and you can walk down the aisle. We're going to stand, and you can walk down the aisle, and someone, one of our workers here, will show you from the Bible how you can have eternal life, how you can have the light of life. Christian, this morning, if you're here and you know it, you know it's truth that we ought to be lights. Jesus Christ came in this light to dispel darkness, and so should we be those lesser lights reflecting Jesus Christ in our everyday life, that others around us at work, at home, should see Jesus in us. They should see His life lived through us. That selfless life. How bright is your light? Is it a 25-watt bulb? Is it a 50-watt bulb? 75-watt? Where are you at? Are you still growing? Or have you stagnated? Or is your light dimming? Maybe to come down to an old-fashioned altar and just say, Lord, I want to be as bright as I can for You. I want others to see Jesus. I want others to see You in me, that I might win others to Jesus Christ, that I might tell others of Jesus Christ. Let's all stand. We have a verse of invitation. We're going to turn to hymn 534 in your hymn book. Hymn 534, what a great chorus, what a great song, Cleanse Me.